Thank you to Natalie for all the arrangements. Thank you to Esther for hosting. It's wonderful to learn together. The Shirim. Ilui Nishrat, my brother, who actually earlier today was his Hebrew birthday. Rav Shalom Tzvi Ben Moshe, Zeh Tzadik Livacha, and hopefully the learning and any inspiration and enlightenment that any of us experience should be as good for his neshama, and as good for all of us, as it will be.
Actually,
met him on the
barbecue
that
he made.
The
first one I met him
with
at the barbecue, he did it down the back. We'll have
to get the barbecue started up again.
Summertime, please, not now. It's cold enough just to walk up the street.
That's for sure. We need to make a barbecue committee.
We'll do it, don't you?
So I'm learning tonight. Sorry, I just can't see everybody. I like to meet people. I don't know if we've met before. What's your name?
Shlomo.
Maybe we met Shira? Maybe. No. Shlomo. Nice to meet you, Shlomo. Shlomo. What's your name?
Tzvi Hirsch.
Tzvi Hirsch. Nice to meet you, Tzvi Hirsch.
And you.
We've met. Remind me your name?
Yeah.
Gitti. Gitti. And
Maury.
Yeah, from where?
Cleveland.
And now you're Sean?
Yes.
Tremendous. Nice to meet you, Maury.
You too.
And who do we have over here?
Jamie.
Erev Tov, thank you so much for coming.
Erev
Tov.
Moti.
Dover Ivrit.
Digam
Ivrit. Moti, okay. Na'im Lakir, Erev Tov. And
Abraham.
Erev Tov Abraham. Okay, I don't know what I remember, but it's wonderful to be together. So tonight, really, this topic, this limud, is really it's the beginning of. It's the beginning of a lifelong sugya, the beginning of a lifelong process. I'm hesitant to even say that we'll scratch the surface, but even to be introduced to this realm of Torah, this realm of Avodat Hashem, is so important and so critical. And that is the unique and personal and private relationship that each one of us can and does and should and needs to cultivate with Hashem. And we'll see, we'll try to open up some thoughts and maybe share with each other on this topic. This is an idea that is found in different ways, in different expressions in the Sefer Kedoshim, the Sefer Chassidut. One sefer in particular, in a little bit of learning, a little bit of research, touches on this idea, related ideas a few times, even in these parshiyot. That's the sefer Maor Vashemesh, one of the beautiful early sfarim of Chassidut, of Clonimus Kalman Epstein, one of the great early talmidim, a talmid of the Noam Elimelech, Rav Elimelech Lubezhansk from Galicia, from Poland. One of the Maor Vashemesh is really one of the classics of Chassidut, even referred to sometimes as like the Shulchan Aruch of Chassidut. I'm a very, very special sefer, beautiful ideas, creative, deep, inspirational, drawing on Kabbalistic sources, like all sorry. And he develops an idea that I want to learn together, and we'll try to take it from there. We know that after having to flee from Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, that we are introduced to, Rabban Shel Yisrael, the Goel Yisrael, the one that was chosen to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to help us develop as a people, is in Midian and shepherding the flock of Yitro. And it's there that he has his tremendous experience, his tremendous enlightening call from Hashem, from the Snef and the burning bush. And it's there that he has a long dialogue with Hashem that is full of so much depth and so much, to be gleaned from what Hashem calls him, the experience of the Sneh, the burning, the not being consumed, what Moshe's experience is, what Hashem asks of him, what Moshe asks of Hashem, Moshe's being hesitant to accept the task, and their dialogue at that moment. And this is one of the psukim. This is one of the sections. This is the section of the Sneh. And one of the things that Moshe says to Hashem, and the Mor Hashem is quoted over here, I'm going to come to the Jewish people, and they're going to ask me. It's such a fascinating focus that Moshe focuses on. It's certainly not a coincidence by any means that this question also happens to be the name of our Parsha, the name of this entire Chumash. They're going to ask me, Mas Shemo. The first question that the Jewish people are going to ask, when I bring them the message of their redemption, when I bring them the besorah of Geula, the news that the redemption is coming, the first thing they're going to ask is, what's the name of the God that called upon you to bring the redemption? And God responds with the famous, cryptic, esoteric, deep words, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. I will be that which I will be. Rashi explains the meaning of those words is, I will be with them in future distress and future pain the way that I'm with them. Currently, Moshe is taken aback. You can't do that. You can't say that. That's traumatic. They're in the middle of a trauma right now. You want me to bring them the message that they're going to experience pain in the future? It's going to be overwhelming again? What type of message is that? And God responds, okay, just tell them that I'm with them. Vayomrod Elohim, and God says, Hashem Elokei Avotechem, God, the God of your forefathers, Elohei Avraham, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, He is the one who sent me. And the more of Hashem, which we'll read inside, because it's a beautiful development, the idea that He develops over here. Yesh Lit Bonein, we need to contemplate, we need to reflect on this conversation between Moshe and Hashem. B'chavarat Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Hashalom, Ma She'amar She'ishalu Ma Shemo. That Moshe's first question that he asks God to prepare when he's going to rendezvous the Jewish people, they're going to ask me, what's your name? The whole purpose is Moshe is nervous that they're not going to accept him as the messenger, the one who's bringing the redemption. And that's why they're going to ask, what's the name of God? In Cain, in Yomarlem, Shema lo yaminu lo. Whatever God says to him, that I'm the one who has sent you, why will that cause them to believe him? The Amru, Shabodah called me the Bohem. Well, they'll say Moshe's making up this entire thing. So what is God responding to him? Gam Amru, Hashem Elokei Avotechem, God, the God of your forefathers, Bameit Amein Lahem Adavar Ba'amruzot. Why will they believe it when Moshe comes back to them and says, the God of your forefathers, He's the one that sent me. And lastly, Elohei Avraham, and then he asked that God says to them, tell them, the God of your forefathers is the one that sent you. The God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, the God of Yaakov. And he asked, why repeat it? And in this exact same spot, just a few weeks ago, we spoke about this idea, we're going to speak about it again. But why the repetition, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov? Just say, Elohei Avotechem, or if you want to say this is my name, say Elohei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. But listen to how the Mor Hashemesh develops and what he says. V'nir the Faresh Al Pi Ma'amar David HaMelech Alav Shalom Ki Eresh Amecha Maaseh Etzbotecha, which also happens to be a beautiful song by one of my favorite Jewish music groups, Shalshelis. They made this into a beautiful song. I think it's Shalshelis 5, maybe. No, this silver chain, black and silver. Very beautiful song, in my humble opinion. Shagam Midvarim. So what they made? What are the words? What are these words? David HaMelech is saying in Tehillim chapter 8. Ki eresh amecha, when I see your heavens, maaseh etzvotecha, the handiwork of the work of your hand, your handiwork. What's the continuation of the pasuk? Yeah, thank you. Yareach v'kochavim, asher konanta. Thank you so much, Shlomo. Excellent, beautiful. Thank you. The moon and the stars that you have prepared, Hashem. Ma'adir Shimcha al Kol Aretz, God, how great is your name over the land. Shagam midvarim hanirim ba'olam, the things that we see in the world, the nature, the planets, the cosmos, the heavens, all of the beautiful natural wonders in this lowly world, nuchal ladat gadulat yotreinu v'niflot boreinu. We can encounter, we can reflect upon, and we can see the greatness of the Creator and the wonders of Hashem. Mehiluch Hashemesh, from the path of the sun, by Yareach and the moon, v'kofei Hashemayim, and the stars of the heavens, v'hagilgulim, and all the planets, and all the celestial beings. Gam mitevel melah, and also this world, and all the fills, and hayamim, the seas, v'chol Hashemayim, and everything within them. Nuchal lirot she'Hashem yitbarach melo kol ha'aretz kodo, that the glory of God fills up the world. When we go out into nature, when we go out into the world and reflect and see, and this is not a chidush, but you know, sometimes in the busyness of life, it's something that we maybe now don't always have the time to do or to do with the proper headspace, but to go out and to encounter God in the beautiful natural world, the beautiful creations, or just to look up at the heavens, to look up at the stars on a clear night, or just to appreciate Hashem is the Creator of the world, the ruler of the entire world. As is spoken about in many beautiful works of Torah, and the Chovot HaLevavot, famously in the Shar Bechina, the Chovot HaLevavot is one of the earliest ones to discuss this at length in philosophy and worship about going out and encountering God in the world. V'chein b'chol ha'olam v'olam, and the entire, and all the world, ro'im miflot ha'bor, we see the wonders of God, shubo re'a kol ha'olamim, ve'elu milvado. V'zoti derech ha'kodesh la'avram, avinu lav ha'shalom, and this was the way of Abraham. Abraham came into a world, and it's always important to talk and to think about Abraham and what Abraham did and what his revolution was. It's hard to leave Chumash Bereshit. It's very hard to leave Chumash Bereshit. For me, it's hard to leave Chumash Bereshit. There's something so comforting and so, it's like checking in with the grandparents on a weekly basis in Chumash Bereshit. And then Chumash Shmuel begins, and it's like, you know, real life, and it's hard, and it's
it's late. It's childhood to adolescence.
Yeah, it's growing up. I don't want to grow up. You know, I want to be a Toys R Us kid, right?
Yeah.
So it's good. But you know, there's no rule that you can't still check in with Bereshit even when we start Shmuel. What Avraham represented, what his revolution was in a world which was totally forgotten and abandoned God, as we spoke about, I think we spoke about once here, that the Midrash depicts in a very, very graphic way how the presence of God literally became removed and removed and removed from this world slowly after the generations of Adam and the generations of the flood and the generations of dispersion. And Avram comes into a world that's seemingly godless, but he goes out into the world and he looks at the creation, he looks at the heavens, he looks at the earth, he looks at the seas, he looks at the canyons, the mountains, the rivers, the forests, and he travels and he looks at the deserts, and he says, he comes to a conclusion, there must be a Baal HaBirah, there must be somebody behind, within, above, under, supporting, there must be somebody running the show. And he came to that as a result of reflection over what he encountered and perceived in the world. He didn't want to just accept the tradition and practices that he had gotten about the idolatrous ways that he had gotten from his father and from his community and from his homeland. He wanted through his reflection and through his meditation and through his spiritual work and journey, he came to realize God. In the beginning, he thought that the sun itself was the force of the world. But then he reflected deeper and said that couldn't be. It's set and it's gone, and the moon comes out, and the planets and the solar systems. And he realized that there must be something underlying. There's an underlying unifying force. There's an energy. There's a God. He came to the conclusion that there's a uniting energy. There's a God in the world that's orchestrating and conducting this beautiful symphony of our world. V'chein Yitzchak Avinu Birotot at Abraham, and Yitzchak had a unique experience himself. Yitzchak was the first ever rabbi's child, which if anybody has ever either is a rabbi's child or knows a rabbi's child or is the parent of a rabbi's child, it's not a simple thing, and it's even like studied, especially in America. you know, there's unique challenges of being a rabbi's child. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes? No?
Yes.
Chinese? No? Thank you. Okay. So now everybody understands. Meaning, when
my dad's not a rabbi, but it's...
But you understand, you understand the concept. When you grow up in a home of givens, of spiritual, religious, philosophical, ethical givens, so and expectations, and the bar is set kind of high, it's not simple to grow up in that shadow. Meaning, Avraham was a hippie. Avraham was a free spirit. He followed his heart. He went out and meditated in the fields. He went out to the seas, to the deserts, to the hilltops, to the valleys. And he came to the conclusion, Erev Tov, he came to the conclusion, of God through a real, authentic, sincere, personal search. It's not not only rabbis' children, also children of Bali Tshuva. Maybe that's a little bit more common, a little more... It's not a simple dynamic to grow up in when a parent went on such a personal and individualistic and independent, authentic search and journey, and then they come to conclusions, and then you want to give that over to the child. Take this. I discovered this, take it. And it's truth. And it's the only way. That's not a simple thing for a child to accept. It's not a simple thing for a child to grow up with. And many children who grow up in such a dynamic, it's smothering. It's suffocating. It's not simple. Especially in the contrast to the journey and the time and the space that the parent had in their journey. When the child doesn't have that, sometimes it's very smothering and it's very suffocating for children. So Yitzchak is the first rabbi's child ever. The first Baal Tshuva's child ever. What was his experience? Lo ratza lasod mitzvat anashim melumada. Gam hu derech bikvotav v'chakar gam mitziyut elohuto kefi darko. Derech hakodesh ad sheisig mitziyut elohuto yiparach. Yitzchak, in certain ways, we could spend a long, long time talking about Yitzchak, we're not going to, but Yitzchak in a certain way is a little bit more heroic than Avraham. Because of this dynamic of being the son of Avraham, it's not a simple thing. And to potentially be stifled and to accept the truth. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe sometimes it's even difficult for us to accept the truth when somebody else says it if we don't get to say it. Anybody ever experienced that? That somebody else could say something that's true, but I didn't say it, so I'm not going to agree because I want to say it. I want it to come from me. And if it didn't come from me, then I'm not going to accept it. I need to say something else. I need to be difficult. I need to be anti-establishment.
So the way you express it to be a little different.
People
that have common authority are like that.
That's right. So Yitzchak is unique. Yitzchak being his journey. That was not the same journey as Abraham. He's the son of Abraham, and he grows up in the house of Abraham, and he never leaves Eretz Yisrael, and he's the Olat Tmima, and he goes up to the altar, following his father with absolute dedication and faith. But his journey is a unique journey. And then Yaakov lo ratza lomod me'avotav. Yaakov didn't just accept what his father and grandfather showed him. They guided him, they taught him, but he himself, he had to run. He spent years on the run. He had the challenge between his father and his mother and his brother. And then he's on the run and he learns in a different yeshiva. He learns in Shem Ba'Eder. He got the brachot from his father Yitzhak. But he spends a lot of his development years on his own, trying to figure out his own path.
And he's the opposite of a hippie. He's Gvura.
Mm-hmm. Yitzhak is Gvura.
That's what I'm saying. He's the opposite.
Right. Now we're talking about Yaakov, who has his own path, the third path. And as such, there's Avraham who developed his relationship with God. And there's Yitzhak who developed his relationship with God. And Yaakov who developed his relationship with God. As such, as we know, God himself has many names, many manifestations. Hashem, Yudke, Vavke, Elohim, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Shakai, and many, many nicknames, Shalom, many nicknames. In Birkata we call it Avinu, Malkenu, Hazanat Olam Kulo. There's so many ways that we express how we perceive God. Shekol echad ve'echad kefi avodato. This is the line of the night. That every individual, based on their avoda, their path, their journey, their struggle, their spiritual work, avodat kodesh, v'asagato yikra Hashem l'Hashem yitbarach. Each individual, especially these paradigmatic figures, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they developed their name for God. And Avraham called Hashem Hakel HaGadol. Yitzchak, who was the one who, like Natalie said, he was one of Gevura, he called him Gibor. Yaakov was the one whose Avodah was through what his Avodah was, he called him Nora, right? B'zeh ha-gadol, ha-gibor, v'ha-nora. This is what we say in davening every morning. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu ve'elokei avoteinu. Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, ha-kel, ha-gadol, ha-gibor, v'ha-nora. That God, that the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzchak, and the God of Yaakov, he's manifest as ha-kel, and ha-gadol, and ha-gibor, v'ha-nora. The Lord, the great one, the strong one, the awesome one, the mighty one. Shemirameis shekol echad me'avot karulov shem kefi hasagato. Because what Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov represented and what they did and what they taught us was that each individual and each person does not have to and should not accept the God of somebody else. Now, Chasham, I don't mean to imply that there's multiple gods. That's not what I'm saying. You know, there's an unbelievable line from one of the great Mefarshim, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Chaim HaTar, who says one of the most profound ideas. Says in the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Can we know the teaching? What does Aruch Haim say? What does he say? What does Aruch Haim say?
That the Echad is not to do with that there's only one. It's the Echad, the unity that you have with your own God. Like, meaning, not your own God, but like your own personal relationship.
Okay, yeah, fair. I don't think that's what the Aruch Haim says, but that's a beautiful idea. What the Aruch Haim says, he asks a question. Maybe it's connected. But he says, why? Yeah, question that many of the Farshim ask. Why don't we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Echad? And he says, because we want to say a fascinating thing. We want to say that even, I couldn't say this unless he wrote it, Archai, one of the greatest Kabbalists, one of the greatest scholars, one of the greatest Baalei HaMasorah from Baghdad?
Morocco.
Thank you, Morocco.
He lived here, but he wasn't in Iran.
Okay, cool. Morocco. Why did I think Baghdad? Why did I think over there? Ben Ishchai was in Baghdad. Okay. Morocco. Thank you. Orachai. But he was in Yerushalayim, right? He says, listen to what he says. I couldn't say this unless he says it. That even if the reality was that there were multiple gods, I would still choose God as my God. Hashem Elokeinu. I am choosing God.
That's the first part.
Even if there were multiple gods, I would still choose God to be my God. And then, but by the way, Hashem Echad, I don't really actually have a choice. There actually is only one. But if, that's what you were saying?
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I didn't know how to say it the right way.
Okay.
Sorry.
I apologize.
No, it's fine. You were much more articulate.
I would, if there was like a smorgasbord, if there was a buffet of like, you know, choose God A, B, C, I would choose this God. Because this is the God that I love and that I feel cares for me and but Hashem Echad, I don't actually have a choice. There is only one to choose from. But our one God, as we know, as history has shown us, as our lives experience, as current events shows us, as the Torah teaches us, as our liturgy teaches us, our one God manifests in many different ways. There's the God of strength, there's the God of compassion, or the side of God, the manifestation of God, of intellect, of love, of pushing, of what? Result. Yeah, who pushes us to excel, to succeed, and to be successful, and to maximize our potential. Oh, there's the God that gives us space. There's the God of understanding, and there's the God of history. There's the God of unity. There's the holy and above and transcendent, and there's the God which is the Mali Kol Almin. Which is, what's the word for that? Transcendent and imminent, who's present and we feel with us. There's the God that's above and beyond that we reach out for, but we can never quite grasp. So many different manifestations. There's Avinu, there's the Malkeinu. There's the God who's our friend, Reach HaVereach Avicha, the God, like the Pasuk says in Mishlei or Kohelet, I forget. Rashi says something unbelievable in the famous Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, where the convert or the prospective convert comes to Hillel and Shammai and says, "Let me convert while I stand on one foot." And Shammai says to him, "Get out of here!" He pushes him out with a 2x4. 1 foot? Are you kidding me? Judaism, it's a lifelong process. And Hillel says, "Okay, I'll let you in. I'm going to teach you the entire Torah on 1 foot." And he says, "That which you hate, that which is disliked, that which is distasteful to you, don't do that to your friend. Ve'idach, and the rest, zil gemor. And the rest is details. The rest is the footnotes. The rest is that, you know, really fast guy at the end of the commercial. You know, the small print, right? But that's the entire Torah. That's the entire Torah. So the commentaries ask, maybe that's half the Torah. But there's ben adam l'chaveiro. So that's ben adam l'chaveiro. What about ben adam l'akom? So Rashi there on the spot says, what does it mean? What is dislikeful to you, don't do to your friend? Who's your friend? God. Rashi says, the friend refers to God. Re'acha v're'a avicha al tazovu. Your friend and your father's friend, don't abandon. God is your friend. That's another dimension. Whoever thought about that our relationship and our perspective and our understanding of God is our friend. So, our brother, our sister, Our beloved Shir Shirim, look, you read Shir Shirim, the intimate, passionate love song that we have with God. Not rated PG, not even PG-13. Very, very steamy. That's another relationship that we have with Hashem. So many. And that's what says the Ma'or of Hashemesh. That's what's happening over here at the snat, the burning bush. I'm going to come to the Jewish people, I'm going to give them the news of their redemption. The first thing that they're going to ask me is, what's his name? I want to know him. I want to know this God. I'm so moved. I'm so excited. Tell me about this God of yours. Who is he? Heyach nikra. Kefi b'chinatam sheyichlu v'abo b'chinat shem ze. How do we interact with him? What's his name? B'zeu kavarato ma shemo ma amar lehem. How should I introduce you? How should I introduce you? You know, sometimes when we introduce, it's okay. You should hear me snore.
I'm jet lagged.
You don't know explanations. It's good. Maybe lie down. I'll get it. You're good. Beautiful. Good. You want to introduce somebody, introduce a friend, or introduce somebody to somebody else. You know, how should I introduce you? You know, Mr., Rabbi, Doctor, just Joe. You know. If I would introduce my wife to somebody, I have names that I call my wife. I'm not going to share. I don't share them in public, right? I mean, that's private. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to introduce that name. I'm not going to introduce her to you with that name, right? Or my mother. You know, this is Ima. This isn't Ima. This is Mrs. Miller, right? You know, or everybody has different names. Everybody has different ways that they interact, depending on their relationship. If it's a professional relationship, a social relationship, a family relationship, a business relationship, an academic, more respectful, more everybody. Lahavdil, Hashem also has different costumes. Hashem also has different manifestations. So Moshe is saying, I'm going to introduce you, God, I'm going to introduce you to Jewish people. How would you like me to introduce you? You know, which name? And God says, this is the beautiful chidush of Mor v'Shemesh. Hashem ehyeh bi'urosh ehyeh yikral l'kol echad kefi b'chinat amonato. You know how you should introduce me? I want you to introduce me as the God that each individual should get to know me as he or she is. That's who I am.
Love it.
That's how I want you to introduce me. I don't want you to introduce me the way you know me, or the way he knows me, or she knows me, or she knows me, or he knows me. I want you to introduce me to every individual, every member of Klal Yisrael, as Heyeh, that I will be the one that you develop the relationship with. The one that you get to know as you are from your perspective. The famous Gemara at the end of Masechet Ta'anit, also made into a beautiful song by different singers. Mordechai ben David has a great version. Atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asot Machula Tzadikim. In the end of days, God will make a big circle dance of all of the righteous people. Amech Kulam Tzadikim. That's all of us. The entire Jewish people will make a big circle dance. V'hu Yoshev Be'er B'Gan Eden. And God himself will be the epicenter. God will be the focus. Any geometry people over here? The focus, is that the right word? The middle of the circle? No? Yes? Anybody? Radius?
Nucleus, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. The center of the circle. The kol echad ve'echad ma'ir betzvo, and every single person around the circle will point and will say, Ze lokeinu kivinu lo v'nismucha regilu v'yishuato. This is God, here is God. And many of the commentators point out, what's so special, what's so unique about this? If God's the middle of the circle, and I'm over here and you're over there, I'm not saying the same thing you're seeing. My vantage point is the exact opposite of your vantage point. And you have a different perspective, and you have a different perspective. And each one of us is going to see from our part of the circle, this is the God. This is the God that I knew. And you're going to see from your perspective, this is the God that I knew. And you're going to see from your perspective, this is the God that I developed my relationship with. This is the God that I got to know. Rotzel Omash Domar Lehem. Tell the Jewish people, Shelo Yasu Mitzvat Anashim Lumada, don't. Don't just take it for granted. Don't just get to know God as your grade school teacher taught you about God. Don't learn from somebody else about service of God. Like somebody else called him. Tell them about Avram, how he developed his relationship with God. Tell them about Yitzchak, how he developed his relationship with God. Tell them about Yaakov, and how he developed his relationship with God. Not just Elohei Avotichem, but Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov. Tell them about each one. One second. What's Elomar? Shetilmedu me'avot. They should learn from their great Zedas, from their great grandparents, from the Avot HaKadoshim. Shekol Echad Oved Kefi B'chinato. V'yagal La'asig Mitziyoto. And they worked, and they struggled. What I'm saying is nice. But it's not simple. It requires work. Developing a relationship with God is work. It's spiritual work. It's self. It's cheshbon hanefesh. It's. We'll talk about one specific area of this spiritual work. Unless anybody wants to stop here, which is also okay. But it's not simple. But every person through their life's journey and their following their heart can and must develop their own personal relationship with Hashem. That's why each one of them called a different name. This name of I will be, that's my name forever. It's hidden. God didn't actually say a name. That's what's so unbelievable over here. Moshe said, God, can you tell me a name? God doesn't give him a name. He just says, I want every single person to get to know me the way they are meant to get to know me as individuals. And that's a hidden, that's a secret. For generations, this is the path, this is the truth, that every single individual for generations will get to know me on their level. Yes, Natalie?
Why do so many people have an issue with that?
You tell me. Why do you think?
No, meaning like, I have my own personal relationship.
I have
my own personal relationship with Hashem, and you know, sometimes I love him, sometimes I'm angry at him, sometimes whatever. Like it's my own personal thing, and because of that, it's a journey like anybody else's relationship with anybody in life, right?
Yes.
It's a human relationship. A lot of people have issues with people's relationship with Hashem. And it's like, why do you care?
Oh, that's ridiculous. So yeah, I'm with you. Meaning nobody should get involved.
But a lot of Sinat Chinam does come from that in itself.
Can I respond?
Please.
I think part of it comes from the fact that we live within a system. And in order to keep Am Yisrael alive, we have to keep to the Torah, and there's a system. Now, granted, we each have our challenges, how well we adapt to it, and how much we know about it, but in order to have a community and have a certain way of life, there's a certain mahalach. And if you stray from that, then, you know, you're not real. Okay, you can have your own, you know, personal relationship, but there's a structure that we need to keep in order to keep it alive.
I want to develop an idea that I think maybe will kind of not answer your question, but shed light on this difficulty that is a real difficulty, and maybe we'll try to shed light. Okay, just before we get there, just one very very fundamental paradigmatic source where this idea is discussed is the very first Torah, the very first lesson, the very first teaching, the very first thought in one of the beautiful Sfarim from Breslov, Sefer Sichot Haran, Rabbi Nathan of Breslov, who is Rabbi Nathan of Breslov's great Talmid, in his one of his very, very special works, which is a very personal and it's not a book of really Divrei Torah, it's all Divrei Torah, but it's very personal reflections and ideas. And this is the first teaching of Sichot Haran. That's what he says.
The Chabad and the Breslov, they like the word Sicha in general, but not, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Nechon. That's right. Yafemot. Sicha, we're just talking. We're just friends. You know, we're just. Yafemot. Right. He quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 135. Ki ani adati ki gadol Hashem v'adoneinu mikol elokim. And I know that God is great. And he's the God above all powers. David HaMelech, Alav HaShalom, says Rabbi Nassan, Amar ki ani yadati, I know. Says Rabbi Nassan, ani yadati daika, I know God. Ki gedulat haborei barach, the greatness of God, blessed be He, I yashar lomar l'chaveiro. One cannot tell his friend about the greatness of God that he or she has comprehended and experienced. Va'afilu la'atzmo. And sometimes the God that we develop a relationship with, we can't even quantify it and put it into a box of words to ourselves. The God that I know today, I can't even carry over to the God that I know tomorrow. Lefi mashem mazriach lo, based on that which is shining upon me, umitnotzeitzlo, that which is glistening on that sparkling, thank you, on that day. I can't tell myself. Leom Sheni, the second day, has richa behitnotzitzut, that beautiful shining and sparkling from the previous day. Shel gduatoi barach, of the greatness of God, shayalo atmol, that I experienced yesterday. V'alkein amar, ki ani yadati. Ani yadati daika. I know! And it's so personal. And it's so dynamic. I can't put it into words and tell somebody else. And I can't even necessarily carry it over from one day to the next day. Ki yafshar l'saper klal. Ki kavanato ba'ilu advarim ki ani yadati yafshar l'saper klal. V'gavua ma'od ma'od. This is very, very high. Because a relationship with God is something so deep and so personal. And it's a connection that we have between our soul and its infinite source. And it's so private and it's so deep, it can't even be put into words necessarily. And we can't talk about it.
But that's what I mean. That in itself bothers people.
Let's hold the thought. Rakani adati daika. And this is the meditation, this is the reflection of Nesan of Breslov. Before we go on, just two sources, we'll say them outside. Three sources, we'll say them outside. One of them we made explicit reference to already, and we spoke about a few weeks ago, that this is how we begin tefillah. Two ideas on tefillah. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoteinu. So this idea is from the Dover Shalom. Dover Shalom, one of the commentaries on one of the classic books of Perush on the Tefillah. He says, why do we say Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoteinu, our God and the God of our fathers? His question really is chronologically, historically, it's backwards. Who was connected to God first, our forefathers or God? Chronologically, it should be Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokei Avoteinu, Ve'Elokeinu, the God of our forefathers and our God. First he was theirs, and we took him, and now he's ours. Says Dover Shalom, there's two paradigms. There's two ways in which, as we touched on before, there's two ways in which we relate and encounter God. There's the God that we're taught about. There's the God that we learned and were introduced to by our teachers, by our parents, from books. And there's the God that we, through our own life, develop our own personal relationship to. Says the Dover Shalom, the primary relationship that we're meant to try to engage with is Elokeinu, our God. That's first. As a backbone, as a foundation that we always have to lean on, and it's so important, is Elokei Avoteinu, the God that we were introduced to, the God that we were taught to, the God that we learned about through from the generations past. But the hope and the goal in our service and our development of our relationship with Hashem should be primarily Elokeinu, and Elokei Avoteinu is secondarily. And then another commentary on the Siddur quotes from the Shevot Teshuvot Panim that he wrote, the idea that the Maor Vashemesh basically said explicitly, why do we need to say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? And he says because each one of them developed their own personal relationship with Hashem. The Shlach HaKodesh, Yeshaya Horowitz from Italy, and then he came to Eretz Yisrael, one of the great Kabbalists from the 1500s, 1600s, and really a forerunner of a lot of the Torah of Chassidut ends up coming and drawing from the wisdom and from the mysticism and the ideas of the Shlach, the Shnei Luchot HaBrit. And he says, idea, this is a classic, and he says that when it comes to our developing a relationship with God, that we have to know today, and we have to bring it to our heart, we have to know God. There's two dimensions. There's our investigation, there's our journey, our reflection, our meditation, and our development of our own personal relationship with God based on our life experiences. And then there's the acceptance of the God that we're taught about from our tradition. Kasher, Baal Chobos HaLevavos that we mentioned earlier, he's really the one who is one of the forerunners of this idea in Jewish thought and Jewish philosophy. And he quotes this pasuk, Da'at Elohei Avicha, you should know the God of your forefathers. Rotelomar, Nosaf al Mashu Kva Emuna Elohut Bilavavcha Mitzad Avicha. In addition to the fact that the God of your fathers, the God of history, the God of the Jewish people from generations, is taught to you, Kabbalah Ish Mipi'ish, the transmission of the God that was taught from all generations, Da Atab Atzmecha Mitzad HaSaga. You yourself need to get to know Him yourself from your own investigation, from your own growth, from your own life experiences, from your own study, from your own meditation, from what your life shows you. V'zel ramaz pasuk ze keli ve'anvehu. And this is the pasuk that will say in Shirat Hayam in a few weeks, this is my God and I will exalt Him, or I will honor Him, I will glorify Him. Elohei Avi, the God of my fathers, v'aromenu, and I will exalt Him. Rotzen lomar, kishaze keli, when it's my God. There was a movie when I was young called Sister Act.
Best movie ever.
I was thinking about that movie. I was thinking about that movie when I was thinking about. I was actually going to title this year. Nothing you could do. Nothing you could do could take me away from my God.
Yep.
Right. That's a line. Whoopi Goldberg.
Yep.
It was bad. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
We're all thinking it.
It's good to, you know, it's good to recall when you know, the good things that people brought to the world before they started bringing things to the world that are somewhat not so good anymore. But I remember that movie. I remember watching that movie on a Sunday morning in my parents' living room. There's something that hit deep about that movie. You know, nothing like a bunch of nuns singing in the convent can really inspire you. But nothing that you could do could take me away from my God. That's what I was going to title this year. Rotzel Omar Kishazek Heli, when a person experiences my God, when a person experiences God on that personal level, Shehu Eli, that he's my God, Mitzad Hasagati, that I have discovered, that I have dug for, and I have worked to develop this relationship in this real way, V'yadati, and I know him, Azva Anvehu. Then, this relationship will be so real, Anvehu Milashon, so beautiful, Anivehu. My relationship with God will be a me-him relationship. Anvehu, Anivehu. I will be living my life with a me and him. It'll be real. When I work at it, and I dig and I'm consistent and I make God a real part of my life, I'll really be able to get to the point where I feel anivahu. Rotzel Omar, anivahu dvukim biyachad. We're really intimately connected. Kibiyachol. Keidzian nitfesed balei, because that knowledge clicks. It sticks in the heart. Amnam, however, kishayin liyayidia mitzad hasaga, but when I don't get to know God like that, Rakhmi Tzad HaKabbalah, but I just accept the God that I'm taught about, Shehu Elohe Avi. Not Zekeli, not my God, but the God of my fathers, the God of history, the God of the tradition. Az V'arom Amenu. Then he'll be exalted, which is beautiful. It's good to know the exalted God, but the exalted God is not the Ani V'hu God. The exalted God is a God who's out there somewhere. He's not the God that I'm walking through life with. He's not the God who's giving me the hug when I'm down. He's not the God that I'm able to talk to in a real personal way, who's strengthening me and who's pushing me to be my best self.
Why not? Why can't he be both?
Oh, he totally can be. Okay. And he should be.
Right.
But the God of out there somewhere, ruling the world, it's a more distant relationship.
That depends on how you define that.
Of course.
If I'm the child of God and he's the king of kings, then I'm the princess.
Absolutely.
So the princess still gets hugs from the king.
Okay, right. Maybe we should have both.
Right.
We need to know that God is the king and that he's running the world, right? But that dimension of the relationship is a little more of a distant relationship. At the same time, we need to cultivate the Anivahu relationship. And not just leave it as Elohe Avi. This is a very, very beautiful teaching from the Shla. And those are just three permutations of our idea on the Siddur. Elokeinu Elokei Moseinu, one. Elokei Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael Yaakov, two. And the idea of Zekeli Yaveh Elokei Avraham Yomenu from the Shla. How do we do it? That's the big question. And this is lifelong. And there's so many avenues. And it's already late. But for a few minutes, we finish one time, that's okay. How do we do it? So, I hope now to not... How do we cultivate a relationship with God? The Gemara in Shabbat says that when God gave the Torah, he began the giving of the Torah with Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tziticha Meretz Mitzrayim. The Gemara says that Anochi, the first word of the Aseret HaDibrot, Anochi was an acronym. It's an acronym. What's the acronym? The Gemara in Shabbat says, Tavkuf Hei, Rabbi Yochanan Didei Amar, Anochi Notzikon, it's an acronym. What's an acronym? Ana Nafshi Ktavit Yehavit. When God revealed himself and gave us the Torah, at the revelation at Sinai, the first word of the Ten Commandments, And he said, Anochi, it was an acronym where God said, Ana, me, Nafshi, my essence. I took it, Ktavit, I wrote it down, Yahavit, I gave it to you. Ana, Nafshi, Ktavit, Yahavit. I took my essence, I wrote it down, and I gave it to you. And God handed himself to us on a silver platter in the Torah. The Torah is how God gave us himself. So the answer to the question is, how can we and how should we cultivate our relationship with God is through the Torah. Which then brings up the next obvious question. If we're supposed to cultivate a relationship with God through the Torah, aren't we all going to end up with the exact same relationship? Aren't we all going to just be carbon copies of one another? Aren't you telling me then that the expectation is that each one of us should be cultivating the same relationship because we all have the same Torah? Answer?
No.
Absolutely not.
Thank you.
Absolutely not. You're welcome, honey. We're so happy.
First of all, there's
12 tribes.
We're so
happy.
Second of all, there should be putting the Torah.
So there's an idea that is found all over the holy books.
Sorry.
There's an idea that's found all over the Kabbalistic sources and far beyond that when it comes to Torah, which is the primary avenue, the primary method, the primary location where and how we develop a relationship with God because he took himself and he gave himself to us in the Torah. There's a fundamental idea that when it comes to Torah, the Torah that I am meant to learn is not the same Torah that you are meant to learn. It's not the same Torah that you are meant to learn, or you. And this is an idea that is found in many places. One of my favorite sources, this is from Sefer Tiferet Shlomo. I think my brother Shalom taught me about this Sefer, and we learned it together a few times. The Tiferet Shlomo says, this is a very famous idea, that Yisrael is Roshei Tevot, Yesh Yishim Revo Otil the Torah. Yisrael, the Jewish people, is an acronym for there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, which is an expression of each person, 600,000 fundamental souls of the Jewish people, and each person has their own letter in the Torah. Ki haTorah hi rak mikem mishorash nishmatam asher amdu bar Sinai. The root of the Torah is the root of the Jewish people. Shetzarich kol achad nishmor et atzmo leval yabo shum tzad negia vasargat gvul b'chaviro b'esek parasato v'lo yitkaneh bo im yira etzlo ma'alei yiter amenu. Ki kemo b'sefer Torah. And therefore, every single person has to make sure that they have their letter in the Torah. And they don't allow their letter to cross-contaminate or to be touching another letter. Because, like in a Sefer Torah, if one letter is touching another letter, the Torah becomes pasul. Ki tzarich liot mukaf gvil, kein kol echad echad. Every letter has to be mukaf gvil. Every letter has to have the white around the black. And if the letters are connected, it's not cursive. Every letter is independent. Every letter is unique. Every soul is unique. Every part of the Torah is unique. Every person's chelik in the Torah is unique. And my part of the Torah needs to be self-sufficient, self-standing. So too, every single one of the Jewish people, tzarich lishmor kol tzad negiak im lo kinivsal chelik shorash nishmato bo tiyot Torah. And he quotes here from we'll skip to David HaMelech. David HaMelech, David, Tiltil Kuf Yutet, Gal einai v'abita niflaot mitoratecha. Open up my eyes, and I should see niflaot, the wonders of your Torah. But he says a Hasidic interpretation, which is so beautiful. Perush. Sheireb einai, that each one of us, our eyes should be opened. And we should see a chisaron, ma shepagam b'chelek nishmato mishorsh ha'ot shebetorah v'zeh perosh niflaot nafal ot. Open my eyes and I should see if my letter of the Torah has fallen. Open up my eyes so that I find my letter in the Torah, my part of the Torah, the unique part of the Torah that speaks to me. And the Torah is so vast. There's Chumash. There's Nevi'im. There's Ketuvim. There's Midrash. There's Mishnah. There's Gemara. There's Halakha. There's philosophy. There's Musar. There's Chassidut. There's Kabbalah. There's so much vast wisdom in the Torah. And each one of us, one of our jobs in this world, and one of our missions in this world, is to find the part of the Torah that resonates with us, that speaks to us, that inspires us, that guides us, that strengthens us, that gives us our identity. And when we do so, we will find the ananafshi ksavas yahavis, the part of God that He put in His Torah to give to me, and to you, and to you, and to you. And when we, one second, and when we actualize this, when we find our place in the Torah, through finding that avenue, and like now we started to say, 12 tribes, 12 different drachim, and it's not really 12, it's really 600,000, and it's really every single soul, every single person, their derech, their masechet, their parsha, their halacha, their sefer, their rav, their shiur, their perek of tehillim, their life experience. Each one of us has to find our chilek in Torah. We find our chilek in Torah, we find our personal relationship with Hashem. Now that doesn't mean to say that when you find yours, now you have a free pass to drop the rest. No. In any relationship, I don't know anything about relationships. Ask my wife. I don't know anything about relationships.
But I can still
be bold to say, in any relationship, there is the part of the intimate connection, and then there's the rest. A person can't just think that the part of the intimate connection is the be-all and end-all, and then you can not do the dishes, and not take out the garbage, and not bring home your salary, and not fill up the car with gas, and not pay the bills, and not take care of the kids, and not do all those other parts. No. Every part of the relationship needs to be fulfilled. The part that will ignite the intense emotions and the intimate connection, that's special. That's the part that's your special connection. It has to be the foundation of all else. So too in our relationship with Hashem. A person cannot say, this is where I feel God, and the rest, I'll do without. No, that's not the way it works. That's the way any healthy relationship works. A relationship has to be well-rounded. And Hashem gave us a complete Torah, which is, don't get me wrong, we're all, myself first and foremost, we're all works in progress. We're not meant to be a finished product. We're not meant, to get it all down pat, within 120 years. We'll come back a few times and we'll try to get it right. But we do our best. We do our best to try to cultivate the relationship in an all-encompassing way. But there's the part where we feel our own personal, deep, intimate relationship with Hashem. I'll say one more thing, and then I'll be quiet, and I'll let Natalie talk.
Thanks, Rabbi.
You're welcome. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav," this is Gemara Avodah Zarah, the last source. Lo'olam yilmar adam Torah bebakom shelibo chafetz. I didn't make this up. The Gemara says that a person needs to learn Torah in the part of Torah that their heart connects to. Shenemar kim b'Torat Hashem chafzo. V'amar Rava b'tchilat nikret al shmo shel Kadosh Baruch Hu u'basof nikret al shmo. Shenemar b'Torat Hashem chafzo. It starts as God's Torah u'b'Torato yegev v'layla. But then at the end we make it our own. We find our part in Torah. We find the part of the Torah that resonates with us. We find the part of the Torah that speaks to us, that guides us, that lights up our neshama. And I'll be honest, many people don't get it the first time or the second time or the third time. And it's work. And it's not uncommon for people to even give up and say, this wisdom or this book or this system of tradition, it's not for me. But I think when people have a little bit of resilience, if you need to close the book for a few days or weeks or months or years, we're human. But go back to the book. Whether it's Chumash, whether it's one Parsha, whether it's Midrash, whether it's Gemara, Halacha, Tanakh, the Prophets, the Writings, there's a part of our neshamot that are fundamentally connected with the Torah. And when we find that part, a light will begin, will just go off in our neshama. A connection will be cultivated with the infinite God through the Torah that He put Himself into. And doors become open. Spiritual avenues become open. And we really we get to know God on our own personal level, which really just means we really just get to know our true self on our own personal level. Because when you get to develop your own personal relationship with God, that comes hand in hand with really getting to know yourself on the deepest level. And that comes together with finding our chelik in Torah, our divine source in the divine wisdom. Give everybody bracha that, you know, and we just, as I said, we're just scratching the surface. But A, we have the courage and the confidence to develop our own relationship with Hashem, from who I am, the way Hashem made me, with my struggles, with my imperfections, and we develop that, and we look for it constantly, each day a little bit more, not to settle with my God from yesterday. I need to be deeper. Right? If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. So too in our relationship with Hashem, so too in our relationship with ourselves. And I think through the Torah study, through finding the parts of the Torah that really resonate and inspire us and speak to us, we get that tremendous gift and that enlightenment of hearing God and cultivating a deep personal relationship with God. And to give us all the bracha that we each take the necessary steps in our lives. La'at la'at. So it's a lifelong process. But I give us all the bracha that we have the courage and the resilience to continue to develop this relationship, to deepen it, and as life goes on, it becomes deeper and more real, and more inspiring and more strengthening, more comforting and more self-actualizing, and all the things that B'ezrat Hashem we can all use a lot more of.
Amen. So if I may, first of all, I love this topic. It's so much happening before I get here. Maybe I'm talking for everybody in the room, or maybe I'm just talking for myself. If we each have our own personal relationship with God and our own personal journey and development and digging into and all that stuff, how does that work if your spouse has a different type of way of connecting to God?
Hooah.
Do you have to find someone, because it's 600,000, right? So each one of us have our own. But at the same time, does it have to be like Aleph Bet, like right next to, or could it be Aleph and like over there? You know what I mean? Like, how far...